think of it, when all the fame of those who have made themselves important is over, the glory of the Lord will endure through all eternity. It is just so mighty that people here on earth may already have a foretaste of the glory we shall one day behold. After all, the Lord has promised that the world no longer sees me, but you will see me, and I will reveal myself to you. And to whom he reveals himself, he is loosed from the earth. We are still in this world, but nothing holds us any longer. We are loosed, and those who are not yet will soon be. God makes sure that some things go wrong, that not everything goes the way we want it to, and that we say to ourselves, "Man, leave all this cramp here. Lord, take us into your glory." Sometimes it has to be that way, and we begin to argue with God and say, "Lord, why did this or that have to be?" Even if we don't know it now, one day we will know it. That it has been good, that maybe we didn't get the prestige and the job and all the high things. Simply because the Lord wanted to lead us a humble way, he will let some things happen that will humble us. And this I tell you already now, those who have not yet been humbled will be. We don't need to worry about that at all. Whoever has not yet experienced the necessary humility or humiliation before the Lord, which is necessary for the complete preparation and completion of the bright church, will experience it soon. For the time is near, and the coming of the Lord is at hand, and the completion of all the things which God has purposed must now shortly take place. Therefore, let us always keep our eyes on the Lord, not grumbling and not complaining and not despairing, but just knowing, Lord, you make no mistake. As you lead, I will follow. Sometimes it's hard. With a mind, we could argue and say, Lord, they are fine, they are better off, and so on. Why does this and that have to happen to me? I say again, even though we cannot fathom it all here, there comes a day when we will be thankful that the Lord has walked such ways with us, that have served us to be humbled and to put our hope all in Him alone. I would like to speak this morning about some scriptures with or about the idea that when God makes something happen in the plan of salvation, then things happen that are supernatural. And especially in view of the fact that Brother Branham's ministry was so supernatural that he was just transferred to another world and that he could be used by God in a very special way. It was due to the fact that he could say, on May the 7th, 1946, towards evening, the angel of the Lord came and told me this and that. I want to prove today from the Holy Scripture that God is walking with the church in a way that has begun supernaturally and will be completed supernaturally. I want to start right away with the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And to say that right away, I refer to the Lord speaking in our midst, where it says, "You are the ones who have heard angels' word." That is actually the reason why I want to talk about it now. From the book of Revelation, I read from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. When Paul preaches the gospel, when he speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, when he writes of the Lord's Supper, of the first resurrection, of all the doctrinal things, then we do not read of such an occurrence. But when it comes to the prophetic word, to the revelation of the mysteries of God, to what happens to the church in terms of the plan of salvation, then we read very often and very quickly about the supernatural things that God has bestowed on the church and on his servants. When John came to the Isle of Patmos, God sent an angel to him who made all things known to him by signs, by visions. The various images that he saw, he did not understand. But the angel who was sent to him had the task of giving him information about it. I also want to read the word from the Old Testament right now, so that you know that this is the way God makes such things happen. From Daniel chapter 8, I read verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, "Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." You can read on, but we notice here what it's about. Daniel sees a vision. He doesn't understand it. And suddenly Gabriel is there and has the commission to explain to him what he has seen and to give the meaning of the same. We read something similar in Daniel 9 from verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. These were the words that Gabriel addressed to Daniel. He had a commission to show him and make known to him what he saw in visions, but did not understand. Perhaps I should say a few things this morning about Brother Branham's ministry, so that we can understand it better. You all know the angel of the Lord came to him and explained to him the ministry that he had, and that he spoke to him about what was to happen at that time. The angel who talked to him mentioned the example of the Lord Jesus with a woman at the well. The angel who spoke with him mentioned the example when Philip had led Nathanael to Jesus, and the Lord spoke with him, and other examples from the ministry of Jesus that we find written down in the Gospels. To actually explain to Brother Branham the ministry with the gift of discernment, with the gift of revelation, in general, to explain to him the ministry that would be in connection with seeing the visions and carrying out the prophetic part. All these things were told to him by the angel who came to him. I know that as people who belong to churches and denominations, they know what is written in the Bible, but that we have never heard of such things happening in our time. But God has not changed. It is only proof when we hear that the same thing has happened in this time, that God is concerned about His cause, about His people, and that He has the same possibilities to do the same thing in this time. We will see that the New Testament actually started with supernatural things, and then we come back to the book of Revelation to then see why we were told here, "You have heard angels' word." If we wanted to start, whether with Matthew or with Mark or Luke, everywhere we can read about in which way the Lord gave His instructions when the time came for God's word to be fulfilled. To have things all close together, let us open Luke chapter 1 to highlight some thoughts here from verse 8. It is written here, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Perhaps I must interrupt here to tell you what we are hearing here now, and what we are reading here now is angel's word, is what Zechariah heard from the mouth of the angel who visited him as he ministered there in the hour of prayer in the temple and brought his supplication before the face of God. We hear further what the angel said, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So far, we have now heard angel's word. And if we notice how exactly this angel here, who now spoke to him, formulated things and quoted the prophetic word so hair-trigger and exactly, that applied to that time and that applied to John's ministry. Then it says here in verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Again, this is angel's word. So we see that God has the ability to speak here on earth in a supernatural way. We see that the angel not only spoke, but that Zechariah also asked, and that the angel again answered. It was a conversation such as we might have here, one with another. Now, of course, we have to put ourselves into the position of the scribes when they suddenly heard that their colleague Zechariah had experienced a supernatural thing with God. Then they were beside themselves and could say with certainty, Zechariah, we had a lot of trust in you, and we were glad to have you. We have known each other all these years, but since the day you speak here of an angel speaking to you, and of a promise of a son, of the power of Elijah, of the spirit of Elijah, to go before the Lord, to prepare the hearts, and so forth, we don't think that will be quite true, for that will be our task. But you see, God has ways and means of speaking to his people. And when an angel of the Lord speaks, he will not tell us what to cook or bake. He will tell us what God has said in his word. When God speaks, then it is important, then it has meaning, then we must listen to it. And all are blessed who can understand and who can believe that the Lord can speak to people in a supernatural way. If someone were to say today that the angel Gabriel has spoken to me, you could see it in people's faces, what they would think of you at that moment. They take flight and say, these people are crazy. Now they are not only talking about special things that God has revealed to them from His Word. Now even an angel has been with them and told them this or that. But we have to be careful here. Before we say anything, we have to become still and search the Scriptures to know what God has already done in the past. When supernatural things, which are of importance in the plan of salvation, had to find their fulfillment, the Lord spoke to His people in a supernatural way and gave them instructions. This here, what we have read, was what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah. It was not a blurred thing. He didn't have to guess where the angel was standing or what he was saying. He was standing on the right side of the altar. He knew the whole context exactly and could tell him by word and by event what had happened. So there was no uncertainty in what was going on at that time. Remember this. This is the beginning of the time of grace, the beginning of the new covenant, the beginning of the realization of all that God planned before the foundation of the world, what He revealed and made known to the prophets in the Old Testament. This is the beginning of what God brought to fulfillment in the course of the New Testament Church. The first thing we read about is the supernatural speech or event or experience that those who had a direct share in what God did according to His Word in that time. And this supernatural experience we can read on later. But to finish this thought, even Zechariah had trouble believing this. He says, how is this going to happen? I'm old and my wife is stricken in years. How can this be possible? He should have been thinking divinely at that moment. But his prayers were answered. He could not grasp it, not only out of unbelief, but he was perhaps so overwhelmed that he simply could not comprehend that this was about to happen to him or to his wife. In any case, the angel said to him, because you have not believed, remain dumb until the day the promise finds its fulfillment. If all who do not believe would remain dumb, then much disaster would be saved among believers. If all who do not believe could remain dumb until the day when what the Lord has spoken is fulfilled, then it would be very nice in our midst and among all believers. For then there would be nothing at all about which one could have different opinions, because each one would keep his opinion to himself and could not speak out with his mouth. But he who believes may speak. That is why Paul writes afterwards, I believe and therefore I also speak. If we go on here in Luke chapter 1, then it says here, right from verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Do you see what this is all about? Finding grace in the sight of God. Noah had found grace before God. With him the Lord could speak in a supernatural way. With him he could establish his covenant. To him he could give his word and his promise. On him he could rely. He knew, my servant Noah has no agenda of his own. He will do what I tell him to do. He will carry out what I command him. Why? God had put that trust in Noah. Here it says of Mary, and I would ask you to take note of that. Here again we hear angels' word, and the angels' word is in connection with the promise and the fulfillment of the prophetic word that God has given. And there are only two directly prophetic periods in the time span of the New Testament church. The one period was at the beginning of the New Testament church, and the second is at the end of the New Testament church. Just as in the beginning many prophecies were fulfilled and Bible prophecy found its fulfillment and destiny, so it is now at the end of the time of grace that many of the prophecies written in the Word of God are now finding their fulfillment. And therefore we do not read in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th or in the 8th century that somehow supernatural things of this kind have happened. But the end must again become equal to the beginning. In the same way that God began, in the same way he brings his work to completion. Whether that suits people, whether they believe it or not, no one is asked about that. God has a plan, and he brings it to completion. Here the angel Gabriel continues to speak to Mary in verse 34, or rather she then speaks to him. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We see here also that a conversation took place. The angel Gabriel spoke what he had to say. Mary asked what she had to ask, and the angel gave her the answer. I say again, if one were to report such an experience today, people would put three question marks behind the person and would think that this is how far things have come with him now, that he is now slowly going crazy. But that is not the case at all. And I believe that all people who know us, And I may say this here this morning as someone who knew Brother Branham, who rode with him in the car, who ate with him at the same table, and was present in the meetings. Brother Branham was a person like any of us. He was at the wheel and drove. I sat next to him, or he would tell something about which others became very quick cheerful. He was a person like any other. He ate and drank like the rest of us, slept and went about the business of life. But you know, since the day, since the time he told of the supernatural experience, you know the life story. Then Dr. Davis came to him and said, "Listen, what's the matter with you now? Who do you think will listen to you? And who will come to hear a sermon on such things?" And he says, "If God sends me, he will send me people who will hear me. I cannot deny what I have experienced." And so we see that people who experience supernatural things with God are suddenly abandoned by everyone else, that they are cast out because people are humanly minded and are not able to receive the supernatural into themselves. But the Lord gives us grace in these last days. For me, this is a very simple thing. The same Lord who sent an angel to Zechariah, who sent him to Daniel, indeed, at various times in the Old Testament and in the New, even a Paul can relate when he suffered shipwreck. He said, "That night the angel of the Lord stood with me and told me, 'None of you will lose your life. Be of good cheer, everyone. Nothing will happen to you.'" People could then have said, "An angel with the Lord with you? We have all been in the ship too. The ship is not that big. Why didn't you introduce the angel to us so that we can talk to him too?" It doesn't work like that. You have to respect the things of God. The unbelievers have no eye for it. They have no understanding of it. And if the Lord would even raise one from the dead to speak to them, they would not be able to believe. But God has people on earth who can believe from the heart. And I can really believe that. I have never once, not for a moment, needed to doubt that the same Lord did the same thing at this time. And I say again, when it comes to doctrinal things, there is no need for an angel of the Lord to come. But when it comes to the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, then the teacher can stand on his head and he will not fathom the mysteries of God by reading alone. They must be revealed to him by God. And that was and is the way in which God has spoken from the beginning. Even at the time when Sodom and Gomorrah were to be destroyed, there came three men to Abraham. One was the Lord himself, and the others two angels, who then, according to Genesis 18 and then Genesis 19 verse 1, the two of them went to Sodom to bring Lot out of Sodom. Of course, if you cannot believe what is written in the Bible, you will not be able to believe what God did at that time. I have only read this so that you know that the New Testament began with supernatural things that God did on earth. That supernatural things are in heaven, we all know that. But the same God who now has his messengers in heaven, he also has his messengers on earth. And he can send the messengers from heaven to tell me something so that his servants on earth know what to say. That is always possible. Let us think of the announcement. You will say, do you have to be a special person for that? No, precisely not. Because if you are special, then the Lord will not do anything with you. All people who think they are special have never experienced anything special. But people who know they are not special, they don't ask God either, Lord, maybe it would be nice if you would give us a heavenly visit that we can believe. No, we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with all our heart and soul. We don't need a visit from glory first to do that. But if it pleases the Lord, He sends someone, and then it happens. We see the shepherds were in the field, and suddenly something happens. They are illuminated with heavenly glory, and the angel says, behold, I bring you glad tidings for all the people. What was that? Were they expecting it? Were they something special? Perhaps pious, with their necks craned, that they thought the Lord was going to do something? No, they were as they were, without being anything special. But in their hearts, they waited for the consolation of Israel, and the Lord let them know. And it is written that the angel of the Lord spoke to them. Luke chapter 2, it is still written here. Here it says from verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. You know very well that this story is well read in all churches at Christmas. But if you could secretly look into the minds of those who read it, to know if they believe what they have read, then I am very afraid that only a few are left who can still believe today what is written in the Bible. But the believers, they believe with all their heart that it happened just as we read here. The shepherds were in the field. We can all imagine, suddenly in the night, the glory of the Lord appeared. And you all know, the glory of the Lord, you can read it many times in the prophet Ezekiel. It's the radiance of light of the living God. When the glory of the Lord appears, it is an abundance of light. And in this light were suddenly the shepherds. They were taken up into the heavenly and heard the announcement, behold, unto you is born this day the Savior, which is Christ the Lord in the city of David. And when this announcement was made, the whole heavenly choir were already present. There was no need to say, wait a minute, shepherds, now the heavenly choir is going to sing. It didn't need to be called. When the announcement was finished, they all joined in and sang praise to the living God here on this earth. The heavens had tilted down. The glory of God was here, the light of His majesty, and the angel spoke. The shepherds listened, and the heavenly hosts sang and praised God. To whom will you say this today? Look for a person on the street who can still believe such things in our Christian countries. Those days are all over. The apostasy is here, and people can no longer believe because those who stood on the platform and in the pulpit did not believe themselves. They were robbed in the seminary of what they had before. We don't want to talk about things here, but we believe that God has people on earth who at the appropriate time and hour have a share in the supernatural work of God that is going on here on earth. But what use would it be to us if we knew what happened at the beginning of the new covenant, if we did not know what God has done in this time? And in this connection, I just want to remind you, when Brother Branham told the vision on the 31st of December 1962, when he saw the cloud of God's glory and the seven angels that had appeared in it, and announced to the church that something supernatural was going to happen, and then he moved to Arizona. And on the 28th of February 1963, suddenly newspapers and weekly magazines have to report, high up in the sky was a bright cloud. And anyone who has ever been to Arizona knows that the sky is blue and there are no clouds. And here are brothers, we have been there. There are no clouds there, unless you see them in the rainy season, and that's very rare. In any case, even on the photograph we have here, there is a blue sky shown. Just one light cloud. And Brother Branham is there on the mountain, and the cloud comes down, and he is veiled in that cloud. He sees the seven angels in the form of a pyramid, and he says, the one on my right-hand side, if they looked at him, that would be on his left side, because they were looking at him. Then he says, he didn't take his eyes off me at all. He was always looking at me, the last of them. He was able to describe the angels exactly and what he was told. And we see the face of the Lord in the cloud as it rose and then went back to glory. Then, when the scientists asked, what was it? The angel of the Lord told Brother Branham, don't tell them about it, because it's not meant for them, and they won't understand. We would think, if such an experience is, then it should be given to the press, that they should write everything, and that they should report what happened. They report about everything, but not about something divine, because the divine is a thorn in their side. And if they report about it, then with 100 question marks in 100 sentences. This is what worldly reporting looks like, and sometimes also the reporting of the pious, who don't know what to do with supernatural things either. Now back here to the book of Revelation. Here are some important things for us to consider, so close to the coming of the Lord. In view of the things that are happening supernaturally in the church and also through the church, we have noted that when John came to the Isle of Patmos, the Lord sent an angel to him to make clear to him by signs, by explanations, all that he saw in visions. But now, to come directly to the term You have heard angels' word. We have to come to chapter 14, and especially to verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. We stop here for the moment. Here it speaks of an angel flying high up in the heavens, and his task is to preach the everlasting gospel to all peoples, tongues, and nations. Have you ever seen an angel flying in the heavens, proclaiming the gospel to the inhabitants of the earth? Do you see what this is all about? Here it is clearly shown in the heaven what must happen on earth. We will go further in a moment. I just want you to get the picture. The things that John saw in heaven were to happen on earth. All you have to do is read chapter 12, and it says, wait a minute, it says here from verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun, and so forth. John saw the things in heaven, because according to Revelation 4, right from verse 1 and 2, he heard the voice, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately he was in the Spirit. He saw the throne of God. He saw the 24 elders. He saw the four living creatures. He saw him who sat on the throne. He saw the rainbow. He saw all these things in heaven. Because he was taken up into heaven, he saw all these things. Even here, the dragon and so on. He saw all these things in heaven, which indeed happen here on earth and are going on. Now, when it is written that an angel flew up in heaven and had to preach an everlasting gospel to all the inhabitants of the earth, it does not mean that we now have to wait for not more men, but an angel to preach the gospel here. That doesn't work. We only have to go to Matthew 24, and there it is written that the gospel will be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. Before the end can come, the everlasting gospel, as revealed to the apostles and prophets by grace, had to be preached once more. And we will come to the further things here in a moment. And you will see that basically these three successive angels' messages are linked with Revelation 18, and that this message has now been summed up in this time to say once again to all peoples, tongues, and nations what had to be said to them from God. We continue to read chapter 14, verse 7. Here it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Do you see? Something is happening here. Because the hour of God's judgment has come near. The hour of divine judgment cannot come until the everlasting gospel has been preached to all peoples, tongues, and nations. But in this context, it is already announced, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. But before the judgments of God strike this earth, the bride church of Jesus Christ must be taken away, for it is written, we are not appointed for the wrath of God, but that we should inherit bliss and salvation. So, here in this context, the judgment is already in view that will come from God. It goes on to say from verse 8, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We notice that this is about the great Babylon that we read about in chapter 17, if we want to look at it briefly. Chapter 17, actually from verse 1. But let me here consider very briefly this Babylon, which is described as a woman, as a Christian church. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. So this woman, who is arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, you don't have to tell anybody anymore. You only have to go into the treasuries to see the gold and precious stones and the pearls and to see the purple and everything. The exact description as it is found here in the Holy Scriptures, it can be found there exactly as it is pronounced here. This woman is then called at the end not only Babylon, but Great Babylon. You notice, for example, when somewhere, when a city Berlin exists, first it is Berlin, and when all the circles around it are incorporated, then suddenly it's Greater Berlin. Do you know what this has to say? This woman is the mother of all the harlots of the earth. One is the great religious power, and the other is all the little religious powers. And when all these things are brought under one head, then it is not only Babylon, then it is Great Babylon. Because then they have everything under one head and can do as they like. One must not even think of all this. Otherwise, one would have to go out into the streets and shout it out as loud as one could shout what is still to come for mankind in this generation. But as the prophet Isaiah said, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We, as the children of God, have found the grace to see the prophetic picture and the cause of these things in this time. So, this great Babylon later is the Babylon of before. And it says, Babylon is fallen. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So you see what these three angels' messages are all about. And you will notice that this is actually the summary of the end time message. First, the doctrine of the 12 apostles to once again bring the true God-given gospel that is eternal to the church of the living God and to preach it to all nations and tongues. Now it is up to each individual what he does with this divine offer. The second is that an angel makes the announcement that great Babylon is fallen, and we all know what was actually foretold about Babylon, even in the Holy Scripture. Perhaps we should read it briefly from chapter 18. Here it is written about opulence and all these things. And with this, we could actually start right away with chapter 18, verse 1, in order to know and understand what is meant by the term angel's message that we have heard, what we have now read from Revelation 14, from verse 6, was not proclaimed by an evangelist or a preacher here on earth. That was a direct order of the living God in heaven, and that this, which was renounced there in heaven, had to find its realization here on earth. Now, if we read here from chapter 18, then it says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen." Do you notice that Revelation 18 is exactly the same as Revelation 14, and that in Revelation 17 is the description of the great Babylon? And then later, the direct announcement, and not just announcement, but already the announcing, Babylon the great is fallen and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We don't even need to talk here about religious and political power, which has been summed up, and one can always follow it anew, where the ways of prominent politicians lead. And if they are not yet prominent and want to become so, then they know exactly where to go. And I'm only thinking now, but it doesn't fit here at all, of various incidents. Here we see, from the context, what God announced in heaven, and in what way this announcement had to take place here on earth. But now comes the word that we have heard over and over again from Brother Branham in verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." You can read more later on what is related to this. What is important for us is the call, "Ye, my people, come out from among them." And I tell you, all who have heard the everlasting gospel in this time, who have understood that the hour of divine judgment is at hand, that the end of all flesh is decreed before God. They have received anointed eyes to know which is the great Babylon, by which all nations have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And they have taken flight and come out, because they almost saw it collapsing and knew this is the moment when we must flee. Ye, my people, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. The others. Now here are the two opposites to be noted. Some pile out, they run to save their lives, and the others return to find their death. Right or not? That is how it is in this time. But God has a people on earth who have heard the angel's message, who have understood what this time is all about. Do you think God makes empty words? Every word of God is pure truth and is given for enlightenment, that we may all know where we stand. Some go in and some come out. There are two calls, one call from there and the other from there. And everyone knows which call to follow. Oh, may the living God grant that we have heard the right call and have come out and found our place. Not in Babylon, but on Mount Zion, there where God reveals himself. For so we were told, you have come to the city of God, to the holy mountain. What was on the holy mountain? The presence of God, the glory of the Lord, and the word of our God came down there where God was present. And here we are gathered before the face of God, outwardly in a plain, spiritually on a high mountain of divine revelation, where his word is heard and his divine thoughts are revealed. We have heard angels' word. We have understood it. We have believed it and come out. And we may ask, Lord, what will you give us in return? Peter once asked, Lord, we have left everything. What will you give us in return? And the Lord said, in the resurrection, you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We don't even want to ask, what will become of us? The Lord has already told us, blessed are all who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank the Lord for his grace, that we can live in this time and know that the same God has revealed himself in the same way. The same one who sent his angel to Zechariah, who sent him to Mary, who sent him to the shepherds, who sent him again and again when something was about to happen to Daniel. The same God of heaven sent his angel to Brother Branham. And he said, I come from the presence of God to tell you what is about to happen. Isn't that something glorious? Our God has looked upon his people in grace and has perceived our affliction and has helped us in the day of salvation and has given us light in the evening time, that we should not enter into darkness but walk in his light. For he that followeth him shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the three angels' messages, we read of the eternal gospel. We read that the judgment of God is announced. We read of the great Babylon. We read of the mark of the beast. Have you all paid close attention to what this third angel's message was about? If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or hand, Have you ever heard an evangelist speak on these subjects? No, and neither will you hear him. And if you do, he will speak his own thoughts. But God had a prophet in our time who could say, this is the beast, this is the image of the beast, and this is the number of his name. And we know where we are at. Thanks be to the living God. I only wish that every individual would get this heavenly clarity, and that we all know that our stand is on the revealed word of God, and that we have heard angels' word at this time. Most believers hear an interpretation over that parable today and that parable tomorrow, and then they go home and say, yes, it was a beautiful interpretation. I've never heard the parable like that before. Brothers and sisters, the day is far spent, and the night has drawn near where no one can work. Today it is no longer about the frivolous interpretation of the parables. Today it is about God's speaking here on this earth, and all people who are pardoned by God, with whom he has made the covenant, they hear his word and they recognize it, and they thank the living God for it. There is nothing else left for us. It has fallen into our laps. I have done nothing to earn it. Neither did you. It has been given to us by God. We have all been surprised, like the shepherds in the field. We were sitting somewhere, and suddenly we heard heavenly music. Suddenly we heard singing and the announcement of what God has given us for this time. Did you pray for it? I didn't. Did you seek it? I didn't. But the time is fulfilled, and God has given it to us by grace. And now he has visited us, the rising from on high, to rule and reign in our midst, and to reveal himself here as he pleases. We cannot say it any other way. I'm grateful. Are you? We have heard angels' word. We have understood it. We have understood what the Lord wanted to say to us in this time. There is nothing to add to that. God's message for this time is not meant to be talked about, discussed, or even argued about. Anyone who still does this has not yet understood anything, has not yet grasped anything, does not yet know what it is all about. Has Mary, has anyone had any discussions about the Word of God? No one. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you have said. Let that be our attitude. We will not fathom everything, but we will believe everything, and we will experience everything that God has promised us for this time and has also prepared for us by grace. So you see that here in the last book of the Bible, it was not evangelists and not preachers who spoke, but everything was made known in the heavens that was to happen here on earth. And that's why there was a need for a prophetic ministry, a man of God who had the connection with God, who could say, the angel of the Lord is standing beside me. That is a wonderful thing, and we rejoice that we can have part in it. Of course, as the scribes could have said at that time, Zechariah, you should have kept that to yourself. You are making the people crazy here. Everyone is talking about it now, some this way, some that way. Why did you say anything about it at all? Zechariah may have said, dear friends, I can't take it anymore. I can't stop it at all. It is so vivid and so powerful in my heart, what I have witnessed there. I have seen it. I was there. I heard what he said. I saw him. He was standing at the right side of the altar. He could bear witness. He had heard. He had seen. The Lord God was doing supernatural things at that time. Blessed are all who hear, who believe, who can receive. Oh, that the Lord could show us clearly the battle is fought, the victory is manifested. His Spirit rules in our midst. His Word has entered our hearts. We have received it, and we believe it with all our heart and soul. What else is left for us but to increase His glory and to thank Him? Lord, You have done great things for us, and we rejoice in them. Shall God do greater things? Perhaps He still does, but He has already done very great things. And whatever else He will do, He knows that. Are we glad this morning that God is showing us the context of His Word by grace in this time? It is absolutely not uncertainty, but final certainty in the Word of the Lord, in the ways of God with His Church. And in so far as we are now moving towards perfection, God will direct each of our steps. For it is written, the Lord directs the steps of the righteous. We are justified by the grace of our God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He directs our steps, and He gives us the grace to receive all that He has given us in this last time. May He bless us, open our understanding, give us grace to see all this in the right way, and also to recognize it. It would be advisable for all of us to read the book of Revelation again and then be able to ascertain what we were told in it and who it was that spoke it all. And then we will fully understand the term that we have heard angels' word at this time, namely the heavenly announcement of what is now near at hand. It is not men who have brought it from a seminary. It has come to us from the throne of God through the ministry of His prophet in these last days. And for this we are thankful to our God with all our heart and soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank You for Your presence and for Your precious and holy word. Whether You speak it in heaven through the mouths of angels or on earth through Your servants and prophets, it is Your word, it is Your voice, it is quick and powerful and divides asunder. We thank Thee that we may witness this time. Oh, we see that You are returning to Zion with much salvation and much blessing for Your people, with a complete restoration of all that has been lost, and with complete information from God, with complete clarity and truth of all that You are preparing and now bringing to pass, my God. And as there at the first announcement, Your light and glory came down with it upon this earth, so now with the last announcement, light has come upon the earth, for the glory of the Lord shines where His word is revealed, and where God comes to His right, there He is present. And where He is present, there is light and life, there is blessing and salvation. Hallelujah. To Your glorious name, Lord, here are the escaped, the brought out, the liberated, whom You have called with Your voice. The redeemed have returned home. Hallelujah. To Your glorious name, O my God, I pray for all who were present here this morning. My God, we can't make it clear to anybody, but it's so clear as day, it is so glorious, it's so wonderful. We don't know what to say. We praise the name of the Lord our God, who has shown Himself mighty and marvelous on us. And He has revealed His word and His will. Blessed and praised be Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.